If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Who do you think should be the NFL MVP this year?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know why you asked that. Y'all know it's 10, man, all the way.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Hello and welcome into WEEI Afternoons on a Tuesday in early January. Happy New Year, Nick Fitzy Stevens.
Wait, are we still doing that?
I think Drake May said we're allowed to do it into February.
I'm all for it. I think the first time you talk to somebody, at least within the first week, and then, of course, the first time you see somebody within a month, that, is, to me, is the statute of limitations. After that, you're asking for trouble.
I'm just going with Drake May is the coolest person on the planet that I interact with on a semi-regular basis.
Uh-oh.
And if he says we can go to February with Happy New Year, then damn it, we can go to February with Happy New Year. He is an MVP candidate. He won 14 games. He's potentially going to the Super Bowl. He's getting ready for the playoffs. Drake May says it. It's okay, baby.
Guy, you're putting all the freaking horses before the duck boat there. I mean, let's one at a time, just so you know, we're always excited. Yeah. His next biggest game is his biggest game is always his
next
game.
One.
That's my least favorite of his answers from recent interviews.
We got to watch out, Andy. I got to tell you, honestly, I know by and large, it seems the listening audience appreciates the way in which we handle Drakeio, Drake 10, or 10, as Marcus Jones called him.
Or 10.
Yeah, I'd like to gently remind everyone, it's not Tim. He didn't call him Tin. It was Tin.
Not Chin. Said, there was some chin questions. Nope, it's Tin.
Jeez Louise, use your listening ears, people. But I got a lot of feedback from people like, oh my God, what a cringeworthy tongue bath you guys give Drake May every Monday on the radio. My God, it sounds like you guys are in love with him. We're not allowed to tell the guy he's doing a great job and praise up like the Lord and Savior of Patriots Nation and the best thing to happen to New England since Tom took his talents to Tampa? Is that so wrong?
You mean like rather be golfing 95 on the Twitch chat that says, Jesus Hart, how much can you blank the kid? And it rhymes with show.
Schmo.
I mean, what exactly is reason to be critical of Drake May right now, other than maybe the fact that, A, the next game you play isn't always the biggest game. This Sunday literally is the biggest game you've played in. It's your first playoff game. It's a primetime game. It's going to... I really liked the way Tom Curran put it. He put it like a college class. The regular season is 50% of your grade. And then the playoffs are the other 50% of your grade, your final exam. It's 50% of your grade. So great that you had a great regular season. You led the team to the 2 seed and a home playoff game and all those things, the division. Yeah. Guess what? Your legacy starts to be made Sunday night at 8 o'clock at Gillette Stadium. They'll start labeling you because Justin Herbert, already kind of a playoff loser. Great talent, doesn't win in the playoffs, right?
Well, he's had so far to date in the playoffs, he's had a massive lead, which he blew. And then last year, the Texans were like, oh, don't worry about the massive lead part. Or 2 years ago, we'll just blow your doors off for you.
And then Josh Allen, as Susan notes, even his fans have to admit, well, he's won nothing. He hasn't been to the Super Bowl, never mind won a Super Bowl. So your legacy, a Dan Marino-like legacy, whatever you want, you win the Super Bowl, you go on a playoff run, you have impressive playoff performances, it inflates your legacy, your Q rating. You know, he'll be doing more of those ads talking about baking ginger snaps. But if you lose, people will start to question, oh, what happened? Oh, fraud word, all of those things. So we're going to get into that later in the show. What is on the line for Drake May and your New England Patriots Sunday night against the Chargers at Gillette Stadium? But I want to lead off with this MVP discussion because the votes are in. We don't have them. We won't have them until the honors Super Bowl week out in Santa Clara. But the votes are in. And
wasn't it just for the audience's benefit, because I think we're in a particular time of the year and in a region that cares, where people want to know exactly how the sausage is made, how the process works. Isn't it there are 50 voters and their votes had to be submitted after Sunday Night Football, Steelers, Ravens on
Yes,
Sunday?
Yes, sir, because right. It is indeed, in case you didn't know this, a regular season award. It isn't given out until Super Bowl week, but it is regular season only. What you did in the 17 games that your team played during the regular season is what matters for the MVP award. 50 voters have submitted their votes, and a slight change over the last, I don't know exactly, few years. It used to be the voters had one vote. Well, other than Peter King, who once put a half a vote in for two different guys. But voters have one vote back in the past.
Hey, Dale, how are you?
Now you have more of a tiered system where you vote 1 to 5. So there's points that are given out. It's a lot like a lot of the other awards, a lot of the other sports, where you can do May 1, Stafford 2, McCaffrey 3, whatever you want. And those guys all will get points.
Yeah, and I think the way that scoring goes is if you get a first-place vote, that's 5 points. If you get a fifth-place vote, you get 1 point.
Generally, that's how it works, and it works that way for the Heisman and most votes. So they fixed it. They made it better, in my opinion. But it's interesting because the sort of presumption this week, the books made Matthew Stafford the heavy favorite, and wusses like me with no faith may have cashed out that Drake May didn't put up enough stats in the finale, and Matthew Stafford threw 4 touchdowns, and he's got 46, and Tom Brady is lauding him for his career achievements on TV. It felt like it was, as the smart people say, fait accompli, that Matthew Stafford was going to be the MVP of the National Football League for this season. But then I'm driving in, and I hear Tommy Curran on with Jones and Keefe, and Tommy Curran, a former voter, gave up his vote this year, but a former MVP voter, a guy that has a lot of national ties, voted for all pro in the past and all these things, rubs elbows with all these people. Tom Curran was asked who will win the MVP award, and his answer is interesting.
I think May will win. I gave up my vote this year, I think I told you guys, because I wasn't doing the all pro stuff, and I just got in the weeds on it. I'm like, I'm not doing it. They're weighted votes. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you vote for 5 different individuals. I would imagine that May is going to be 1 or 2 on every single ballot of the 50. There might be people who would drop Stafford lower. Say, you know, somebody wants to look at an outstanding season and says, you know what, nobody played better than Myles Garrett in the entire league. I want to put him up at 2, you know, some crap like that. So I think that May will win, because I think that May will be 1 or 2 on every single ballot. And I think that, at least in my estimation, and I can't speak for all 50, the great majority of us doing the voting, and the voting concluded yesterday, we spend a lot of time on the stuff. So you don't, especially now that the votes are public, you don't want to look stupid. So you better have your logic airtight. And the fact that Bill Barnwell, for instance, or Mike Sando, or various analytics sites are pointing out to the voters who do their research, May has really been better.
That end part is, I think, Fitzy, the most important part, because we talk about these things, narratives and like public pressure, and it's almost like they snowball, right? Groupthink. Mm-hmm. Once everybody goes, Stafford's going to win it, everybody's like, oh, Stafford's going to win it, I'm going to vote for Stafford. It's like that groupthink mentality, except there's a change there with the quants, the analytics, Mrs. Barnwell's basement, where Bill is doing his work and showing you all the numbers why Drake May is supposed to be the MVP. And Dan Ball, this happened in baseball, and you might know the year when it stopped being about wins and ERA and some of the traditional counting numbers and stats, and it started being about WAR and things like, and you started seeing Cy Young Award winners. Yeah, and the Cy Young Award winner was suddenly like, oh, why did he only have 9 wins? Why did he only have 11 wins? Or I thought you had to win 20 games to be a Cy Young Award winner. Dan Ball, it went that way in Cy Young for baseball. Feels like it might be going that way in MVP.
Yeah, it was mid-2010s, I think, when Jacob deGrom won the Cy Young in the National League despite having a record. I think it was at 500 or a game below. And again, he had a low 2 or high 1, low 2 ERA. Mm-hmm. So he earned it with some of the other quant stats that you cite so often. But yeah, there's been a shift within the last, call it 15 years worth of baseball, where all of a sudden now the value of WAR, wins above replacement, has much more of a value than just the wins and losses that you have on the field.
So, Fitzy, I wonder, do we now have more value in Mina Kimes' numbers and Bill Barnwell's numbers?
Oh, how convenient now, huh? No, now we're Mina Kimes fans. Now we love Bill Barnwell's basement, huh?
I am wondering because it felt like for so long it was just a verbal narrative that spread, and the thinking heads, the voters, would talk a little bit, and then some guys like Tom Brady would talk, and all of a sudden everybody would just be like, oh yeah, obviously Stafford's the MVP. Now it feels like maybe it's going the other way, and the numbers and the analytics and some of those things. Although I will also say, a lot of the traditional reasons to vote for MVP are on the side of Drake May. I don't know, better record, better seed, like some of those traditional.
Worst team, better turnaround.
Yes. The old school arguments are with Drake May, but are the new ones more important?
You know, Andy, this is almost like, I guess we could call this the moneyballification of the MVP or Cy Young Award, right? Where, like Dan was saying, the new school analytics are factoring into the equation and convincing people to vote for the people that did not just the most overt things like touchdown passes or strikeouts or ERA, that therein lies more value. I just don't see how people can push past what Drake May did with what he had surrounding him and from whence he came versus Matt Stafford, who was 2 plays away from going to the Super Bowl, basically, last year in the NFC on a team coached by inarguably one of the top 5 coaches of the last decade in the NFL. Drake's doing this, by the way, new coordinator, his 4th in a row, by the way. He said 4 different coordinators in 4 years. New head coach, basically new everything. New center, new receivers, all of it.
And I think some people, even Brady kind of alluded to McDaniel's value to May. Well, what about McVay's value to Stafford? Like, I feel like that's same. They both are paired up with really good play callers and offensive minds. The talent differential to me is inarguable. When you have Puka Nacua and Davante Adams combining for whatever they have, 24 touchdowns between them and
and 2,600 yards receiving.
Like, they have that number one type option, and they just happen to have 2 of them. Whereas the Patriots, we talk ourselves into Steph Diggs being a number one option coming off an ACL at his age and all those things. And I know the whole, like, oh, soft schedule, but then you look at the common opponents and not only the record against common opponents, but the statistics put up by Drake May in those games against common opponents, and then the deeper dive of the defenses they've faced. Forget about the overall records and all mm-hmm. that, but the defenses mm-hmm. and what Drake May has done. And you know I don't necessarily dive into all the EPAs and DVOAs and all those things, but when you read them from guys like Barnwell and others, and they present it to you, you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Drake May is the MVP. So, Fitzy, we all know that everybody in this town believes Drake May should be the MVP. All of
and
us.
If you don't pack your bags, move out and make sure you get a small enough truck to fit under the bridges on Storrow.
And Andrew will buy you a coffee and he'll ride shotgun because he'll root for that other team you pick with you because he's a fake fan just like
Andrew
you.
Andrew and Warwick. Boy, yes. He took a beating on the
he
socials
did,
yesterday.
And he's going to continue to take a beating. It was not a good look for him. But who will win the MVP, Fitzy? Is Curran right? Are we going to be stunned when we get to this honors presentation and Bill Belichick's there with Jordan sitting front row with that dress that looks like the Lombardi? Are we going to be stunned? Are they going to announce that Drake May is the MVP?
Man, I heard just about an hour ago that the betting odds were Stafford minus 180 on DK and Drake was plus 150. But I feel like now when you hear the Curran factor, which may not have been taken into account, we could have a the best picture goes to La La Land. Oh, no, wait a second. It goes to Moonlight, as in, like, oh, everyone thinks it's Stafford. No, no, no. It's Drake May. That aggregate score, if Curran is right that he's going to get nothing but ones and twos, he's got a really good chance of pulling off the upset. I say...
Is that a yes?
I say Drake May gets it.
Drake May. The Homer Fitzy says Drake May is going to win the MVP award.
Okay, Andy, your turn.
I don't think he's going to win it. Oh. I still think it's going to be Stafford. I still think there's enough olders.
Okay, Andy, your turn.
Yeah, I think there's olds in that room voting. They're not all Mina Kimes and the modern quants and look at the numbers. And I think that it's going to be interesting. And I do... I'm not smart enough. This is a Dan Ball type thing to do to analyze the numbers that Curran's talking about. Like, how many times can Stafford be rated third before he loses it? Like, you know, like those extra votes, those people that think they're smarter than everybody and don't vote right for either quarterback for number one, and how those numbers. Because, Fitzy, I sat down and did this, and I didn't ask you to. I don't want to put you on the spot here.
No,
but
okay,
I sat down. After listening to Curran, I sat down and did my own little ballot. And my ballot would look as such. These would be my five selections for MVP if I had a vote. Drake May, number one. And as Tom Curran predicted, Matthew Stafford is not number two on my list. That would be Joshua Allen, the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills.
Oh,
using,
wow.
I continue to value... For the MVP award, the more with less. And I think Josh Allen does more with less often in Buffalo.
You mean he doesn't have a Puka Nacua or Devontae Adams on his team? Oh, wait, no. He's got the bones of Dalton Kincaid and Khalil Shakir.
How do you like to say it, Dan Ball, about Josh Allen in Buffalo? If who's not on the field, what does he do?
Trust no one, play hero ball, play stupid. I can't remember what I said.
Yeah, it's all of those basic things. That's what he does. So I have Josh Allen number two. I have Matthew Stafford number three. Then I have Jackson Smith and Jigba, number four. And I have Christian McCaffrey, number five. Because not going to lie to you, I don't know if it's that East Coast, West Coast bias, but when I was doing the research for this and looked at the numbers, holy crap, has McCaffrey had a good year. Dude caught 100 balls and rushed for 1,200 yards for the 49. Yeah. Oh, my God, that's
almost
a great
pulled
year
off a Roger Craig, and he did that while, mind you, he had Mac Jones for 8 of the 17 starts.
Yeah.
And Purdy only started 9 games. Mac Jones, 8 games. They finished 12-5. Sure, it was a downer of a season at the end when they lose to Seattle and cough up the number one seed and the first round bye. But, like, that guy kept that team on his shoulders this season. And, by the way, Andy, in an age and an era where the average NFL player lifespan is 3.5 years and a running back's prime is about 5, maybe 6 years tops, McCaffrey's been doing this at this level for almost a decade.
Well, yeah, and he's a weird one in that he's a running back with a lot of wear on the tires, and yet he was more injury prone earlier in his career. I don't know enough about him, but it seems like he got himself a Alex Guerrero or something body guy, because he used to have like hamstring issues and different things that would derail
him. Surprised if there's like instead of a TB12, a CMC22 out there.
Yep, and it's working because he's had a great year. But those are my MVP thoughts. 617-779-7937. We'll dabble in the MVP talk throughout the rest of the program because I think it's a hot topic right now. The votes are in. Is Drake May actually going to win? Curran and Fitzy say yes. I say unfortunately no. At 2:30 up next, we will talk to Mark Schlereth, our weekly Tuesday chat with Schlereth. Stink is in an interesting position. Big Drake May and Patriots fan, but also in Denver, played for the Broncos. Broncos are the number one seed, so we'll get his thoughts on the playoff picture, the Patriots, the MVP, and everything else. And then at 3:30, we'll talk to Brian Hoyer. We had to bump him up an hour from his new usual spot talking about the MVP and Drake May. So Mark Schlereth and all that up next with your phone call, 617-779-7937. But first, Dan Ball, what's trending?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Bruins conclude their 5-game road trip tonight when they visit the Seattle Kraken. Puck drop is at 10 p.m. The Bees have won their last two games. They hold a record of 22-18-2 and currently sit 3 points out of the final wild card spot in the East. The Celtics beat the Chicago Bulls last night at TD Garden. The final score was 115-101. Anthony Simons led all players with 27 points, while Peyton Pritchard had 21. With the win, the Celtics improved to 23-12 on the season and moved into second place in the Eastern Conference, a half game ahead of the New York Knicks. Boston plays game two of their four-game homestand tomorrow night against Denver. Patriots players are off today. New England begins their playoff run this Sunday at 8 o'clock when they host the Los Angeles Chargers in the wild card round. From around the NFL today, the Cowboys fired defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus. Dallas begins the search for their fourth different defensive coordinator in the last four seasons. The Commanders and offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury mutually agreed to part ways after he met with head coach Dan Quinn. Meanwhile, the team also fired defensive coordinator Joe Witt Jr. And former Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski currently is expected to speak with the Falcons, the Giants, and the Titans about their head coaching vacancies. And finally, tonight, Boston College basketball welcomes NC State to Conti Forum. Tip-off is at 9 p.m. Coverage over on WEEI 850 a.m. begins at 8:45. The Eagles are 6-2 at home so far this season. Start the new year knowing you'll lose weight. If everyone else has succeeded with Awaken 180, what's stopping you? Results your first week in every week with the solution for weight loss. Free support for life at Awaken180WeightLoss.com. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Back here on WEEI Afternoons, talking to a lot of Patriots today. We'll talk to Mark Schlereth momentarily. We'll talk to Brian Hoyer in about an hour. Ted Johnson will join us. We'll have a little TED Talk breaking down the win over the Dolphins and what some of those things mean for the postseason. But before we get to Stink, let's go to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Jack in Beckett. What's up, Jack?
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call. You know, I'm just I hear a lot of talk out there about numbers, and I just wanted to point out that we are in a 17-game season now, are we not?
Yes.
So I think that as you start to see more elevated numbers, you got to take that into account, that we can't just create these historical comparisons and start saying, oh, this guy is so much better than that guy, you know, because I think it matters, you know, that extra game.
Absolutely, Jack. And that's actually something that Michael Strahan brought up on TV when he said, I still hold the 16-game sack record. And now Miles Garrett holds the 17-game sack record. And you go back to the old 14-game records and 2,000 yards and OJ.
But Strahan also got a freebie from Favre. Yeah. So did he admit to that on the air?
Yeah, there's a lot there. So that's definitely a consideration. But let's go to the phone lines now, where we are joined by Mark Schlereth, the Odyssey NFL Insider, is the host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast now on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And he is brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Mr. Schlereth, how are we this week? How are the holidays?
The holidays were good. We're doing great this week. By the way, I just wanted to jump in on your conversation really quick because let me just, I just want to throw some Miles Garrett stuff out there. Would it make a difference if that texter knew or that phone caller knew that that Miles Garrett did it in 100 less snaps than T.J. Watt?
Good question.
Forget about 17 games, but 100 less snaps. As a matter of fact, he had the fewest passing snaps of any of the people that you would mention. Reggie White, Michael Strahan, T.J. Watt, Mark Gastineau. He had less pass attempting snaps than any of those guys in setting the record. So to me, the 17 games is irrelevant. You did less snaps than any other person ever did it. And then, by the way, in today's NFL, when I was playing, the bubble screen didn't get invented until the late 90s. We sat and dropped back seven-step drops all the time. In today's game, your legit opportunity to rush the passer is limited with all the three-step drops, the five-step drops, balls out underneath. It's all east and west. There's no real pushing the ball down the football field like it used to be. And so your legitimate opportunities to actually rush the passer, even though you're throwing a pass, but legitimate opportunities to rush the passer are limited to 10 or 12 a game. Like, what he has done to me is one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen. And then on top of that, you're the Cleveland freaking Browns. You should be relegated into, you know, the SEC. So, you know, the fact that you have no offensive ability. So as an offense, you're sitting there going, why would we throw the ball on third down and long, or why we're not going to risk, we're going to throw it short of the sticks. And if we break a tackle, we'll get a first down, or we're going to throw something that doesn't require us to drop back and sit and hold the football. Because we only need to score 17 to beat this crappy team. So there is another layer that makes this record incredible. So, you know, look beyond the 17 games, what really goes on in today's NFL, and you'll find that that record is incredible.
Stink, I just wanted to ask, do you think he should share part of it with the Patriots since he got 5.5 sacks against Drake May?
Yeah, you know what? He should give it should be a footnote on there that, hey, if it wasn't for the Patriots, we always joked around. There was a guy by the name of Michael Schofield who played for the Broncos who gave up 5 sacks to Khalil Mack, single-handedly sent him to the Hall of Fame. So, those things unfortunately happen occasionally. But anyhow, I just think what Miles did was pretty flippin' incredible.
Absolutely, and I think your perspective as an offensive lineman kind of brings some credibility to that, being on the other side of the ball. I didn't expect we'd start there, but, you know, love the passion and energy in live radio. But let's go to the MVP award. I'm guessing you have a passionate feeling on that. It's one of the big topics around the NFL right now. Is Drake May worthy of it? Yes, everybody knows that. Is he going to win it? Is it going to be a lifetime achievement award for Matthew Stafford? Who do you think is going to win the MVP?
I think it'll be Matthew Stafford. I think what you just said was a lifetime achievement award. Yardage wise, leading in yardage, leading in touchdowns, all those things, and just the history that he has had. So I think it'll be a lifetime achievement award. Again, I look at this is going to tell you something about me, I suppose. I hate the Heisman. I hate the MVP because it always just goes to quarterbacks. And I look at, like, quarterbacks wear pink jerseys in practice. They're not allowed to be hit anymore. You know, like, Like, okay, they get all the girls, they get all the money, they get all the endorsements, they get all the opportunities after they're done. Can we just start? It's like MVP should go to football players, guys who actually play football, hit each other, you know, those type of things. We give them some special quarterback award at the end of the year. Hey, the best quarterback of the year was, you know, blah, 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 whatever. But it's just another, just another thing that irritates me about football and the Heisman in general. And then we always sit there and say, oh my God, they have such a tough job. Do they? Do they really? You know, like, hey, on this read, you know, it's a high low read. If the safety plays on the over, throw the post. If the safety plays deep over the post, throw the over. Ooh, how are we going to figure that out? Oh, it's so complicated. So, you know, and I just am like, let's slow down on this a little bit and give it to a real football player.
You were rolling, so I didn't want to stop you mid-rant, but do some teams really use pink jerseys for the – I've seen red. I think I've seen yellow, maybe even a green. Yeah. Do some teams actually use pink?
Well, they all use red, but over the course of the season, if you go to practice on Fridays – the red just kind of continues to bleach out. And at the end of the year, they're all pink. And so, you know, that's my story and I'm sticking with it.
All right. So obviously things change drastically when you get into the tournament. We're talking single elimination. You played in a whole hell of a lot of those in your career. How much does the intensity crank up? How much does the anxiety crank up? You know, how much harder do people hit? How much more does it hurt? And how much more are you willing to take and give knowing your career or at least that season is on the line?
Yeah, you know, the intensity ratchets it up just because it's the playoffs. But once you kick off and you get the first hit in, it's just a football game. It's like, it's not like all of a sudden guys are like, okay, let's ratchet up the contact. Let's ratchet. That doesn't happen. It's the same damn game you always play. I always look at it like it's the team that can settle in and not have the enormity of the situation overwhelm them. It's the team that can focus during the week and doesn't get distracted with all the extra media attention and all the extra attention that, you know, that your fan base pays you and all those things. That's the challenge to me. Once the ball's kicked off, you know, you're just playing football. It's not really any different. Like I got to play in three Super Bowls and start in three Super Bowls. You know, once you got through the national anthem, once that kickoff happened, once you got that first contact in, I never once thought about during the course of that game, man, this is the Super Bowl. I better give some extra effort on this play. I give the same amount of effort on every play that I play. So it just that part is a little bit of nonsense, but I understand where teams can get a little bit overwhelmed in their preparation and make it something that it's not. And I think that's the real – I think that becomes the real key.
Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. So, Mark, your Broncos are off this week. They are the number one seed. And the Patriots team that I know you've covered a couple times and you really seem to enjoy the way they play under Vrabel's the two seed. I was watching social media and Manti Te'o said the Patriots are the most well-rounded team or best all-around team in the playoffs in the AFC. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't. I think the Patriots are really good. I think the team that is playing the best football overall right now over the last 4 or 5 weeks is probably the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I think the Patriots are playing really good. Like I have, like, you know, we live in Denver, you know, and I do a daily radio show in Denver and, you know, and people are a little bit, you know, butthurt that, oh, they have one score games and this, that, and the other. And, you know, people are like, we're getting disrespected, and the old Broncos players call themselves the overdogs because they're always, you know, an underdog. And so it's become this little thing. But, man, they make way too many mistakes. Offensively, the lack of execution is concerning to me. It's a really concerning thing to be a number one seed. And, you know, we even talked about it on our radio show. Are they, you know, arguably one of the worst number one seeds that we've ever seen? You know, all the one score games and all that stuff. And you know, it's very much like you guys had Tebow play for you and Tebow played for us. And I was like, you cannot be considered a hero you know, for putting out a fire that you lit. Like, you know, you're the arsonist and you're the fire department. Like, it just, like, you can't. And if you're playing, you know, really average or below average football for three quarters and all of a sudden you turn it on the fourth quarter, hey, there's something to be said about your ability to get it done in the fourth quarter, but, you know, your inability to do things through three quarters and the mistakes you make have me very concerned, especially on the offensive side of the ball. So, you know, I come into this, I'm excited the Broncos are the number one seed, but I have trepidation just about the way they've played, especially down the stretch here.
So, obviously, you're familiar with the Los Angeles Chargers being in the AFC West and rooting for and talking about the Broncos so much. What can the New England Patriots and what can Patriots fans expect from a Jim Harbaugh-coached, Justin Herbert-led Chargers team?
Well, I mean, they're always going to try to establish the run, establish the play action pass. They're not very good up front, so they give up a lot of pressures, a lot of hits. But Justin Herbert is exceptional. I think the biggest thing is defensively, you know, they're very tied together. They do a really good job, and I just kind of broke them down this week with all their backups. I mean, the Broncos, there's number 58, whoever that is for the Chargers. He's a linebacker that played special teams, never took one snap of defense this year. We try to send him to the Pro Bowl. We're like, hey, if anybody needs a Pro Bowl alternate linebacker, we're not going to block him all day long. So you might want to look at this guy. I mean, it was unbelievable. But I thought from a schematic standpoint, I thought the Chargers just absolutely crushed the Broncos from a schematic standpoint of attacking protections, finding ways to get free rushers. They did a phenomenal job in that. And I think defensively, they're a really good football team. They're going to keep that depleted offense. They're going to keep that depleted offense in the game. So that's where they're really strong, is on the defensive side of the ball. Like I said, attacking protections, and being just really sound defensively with their principles. So I think that's where the biggest challenge will be. But offensively, their offensive line has been just decimated by injuries.
So before we let you go, if I can I ask for a prediction for Patriots and Chargers Sunday night at Gillette Stadium, Herbert versus May?
Oh yeah, I think that New England Patriots are a much better team. So I think I'll take the Patriots. Let's call it 27-16.
Ooh, I like it. A relatively comfortable win for Drake May in his first career playoff start. I like it. All right, Mark, enjoy the weekend, which starts actually on Thursday if you care about college football, and goes straight through Monday, the NFL playoffs. Enjoy the football this week. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guys. Do well.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Remember to listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Coming up, Fitzy, we need to break down a couple things he said. So we had Curran saying that Drake May is going to be the MVP. What did Schlereth think? How the voting will go in that award, we'll have that next. Also, he was pretty passionate, more passionate than I expected and was even prepared for, on the sack record for Myles Garrett. A little recap of that. And also, Trey Young is available. You want him? That's up next here on WEEI.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Who do you think is going to win the MVP?
I think it'll be Matthew Stafford. Leading in yardage, leading in touchdowns, all those things, and just the history that he has had. So I think it'll be a lifetime achievement award. Just another thing that irritates me about football and the Heisman in general. And so, and then we always sit there and say, oh my God, they have such a tough job. Do they? Do they really, you know, like, hey, on this read, you know, it's a high-low read. If the safety plays on the over, throw the post. If the safety plays deep over the post, throw the over. Ooh, how are we going to figure that out? Oh, it's so complicated. So, you know, and I just am like, let's slow down on this a little bit and give it to a real football player.
And that is the Mark Schlereth that we know and love. I was a little taken aback that he had such a passionate defense of Myles Garrett and his record. I was like, whoa, 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 you're talking up a defensive player? I would have thought that would have been taboo for an offensive lineman. But then he's back making fun of quarterbacks and their tough job. Ooh, I actually kind of think it's a tough job. I think there's a lot going on, and we see a lot of quarterbacks that are just not capable of doing that job. But the bigger thing there, Fitzy, is so around 12 o'clock, I heard Tom Curran, a former voter, say, yeah, Drake May's going to win the award. And then 2:30, I ask Mark Schlereth. He's like, oh, obviously Stafford's going to win it. He almost scoffed at the question. Like, yes, he gets why he's a candidate. How are we feeling about that answer and the way in which he delivered it?
Doesn't really change my mind too much. I can see why a former player who respects how long Matthew Stafford's been doing it. I mean, he's been at it for a decade and a half and is kind of technically old enough to be Drake May's dad, I guess. But you know, that's just one form. That's just one veteran respecting another one right there. I think he's a graduate cum laude of the don't worry, Drake May will have his opportunity to win one school of thought, which is what
I
we
hate
think.
It.
I know we've been trying to ski up that hill for weeks now, and
career
not much
achievement.
We can do about it. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's called the Hall of Fame. That's where they honor you for your career achievements. Certain teams will honor you with their team Hall of Fame or their Ring of Honor or retire your jersey. Those are career achievements. This is the 2025 NFL MVP. It has nothing to do with anything you did back in Detroit 14 mm-hmm. years ago Mm-mm. with Megatron. Like this really kind of annoys me. I'm fine if you think Matthew Stafford has had a better season. Like, I think you can make that argument with the statistics. But if you're taking into account the totality of his career, then Drake May is getting porked.
Yeah, if you can't judge what Matthew Stafford did going from the bowels of despair in Detroit and carrying that city on his shoulders for over a decade, almost a decade and a half, to now, like, being, you know, legitimately efficient and awesome all season long on an electric offense. I mean, this would have been like giving Jared Goff the MVP 5 years ago or 6 years ago when the Patriots beat the Rams in the Super Bowl. Like, come on, it's a really good season, but did he single-handedly turn things around? No, he just improved upon last year. He didn't carry the team, the region, and all the expectations on his very broad shoulders. Sorry, I disagree with that. For the turnaround alone, before we even get into all the analytics, Drake May is my MVP.
Real quick here, Fitzy, before we get to the three-point stances, the top of the hour, Ted will be here. So there's some chatter in Atlanta that the Trae Young era could be coming to an end. I love how this is termed, by the way. His agents are working on a trade, and they're working with the franchise on a trade, and where is the I lost the wording, and they said it was, like, productive and positive. Like, okay, you're getting
rid of it. Bleacher Report put it like Bleacher Report had put it something. Here's breaking. Trae Young and agents are working on a trade with the Hawks. His time in Atlanta is over. This will be blah, 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 like, it makes it sound like he's been carrying the city on his shoulders since the day he arrived, and he's given Atlanta moments we'll honestly never forget. But it's time for him to move on for the best. For like, what are we doing? The guy's made hundreds of millions of dollars playing basketball. What are we supposed to feel bad for him?
Yeah, to borrow your NPR voice, Young's reps and Hawks general manager Anzi Saleh have begun positive and collaborative talks over the past week on finding a resolution.
You know what word we can leave?
What are we
in, like,
trying to find a resolution to, by the way, real quick?
His career in Atlanta.
His frustration with the fact that he hasn't won a title. Sorry.
Title? His career peaked. What year was that he had the fun at the MSG? That was when his career peaked. That was like 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
But honestly, Andy, those were good times.
It was fun. It was awesome, and I loved it. And had you asked me back then, do you want Trae Young on the Celtics, I probably would have said, is that a rhetorical question? Of course I want Trae Young on the Celtics. Right now, I have no interest in Trae Young. Now, Fitzy, you had some sourcing. You read some sources that the Celtics might be on his target list or something. What do you make of that?
I have zero desire to bring Trae Young onto the Celtics right now. I'll take Jason Tatum, thanks. We have, like, the Celtics are already going to get a really good ball player back in the next couple of months. I don't really think Trae Young is necessary. Besides, you got Pritchard, you got Derek White, you got all these guys you're developing right now. Don't let some hungry, cranky veteran who's looking to ring chase because he's been in the doldrums the last couple of years come in and upset the chemistry on a team that's playing great basketball right now.
And not to mention, he has the worst hair in all of sports. I guess it would make sense, though. JB's been fighting that battle. Derek White fought that battle. Maybe it could be like the bad hair bros in the Celtics backcourt if you brought in Trae Young, because they've all battled that look, and he hasn't given up yet. He needs to give up. He needs to shave it. He needs to go all Derek White and probably just go bald. But on the basketball court, I'm with you, Fitzy. It doesn't make any sense. JB is rolling as the centerpiece. You're going to get Tatum back. You're going to have to sign Trae Young and give him money. I don't think he fits financially moving forward with any types of aprons. And then you're going back down that road of, like, how many basketballs are there? How many basketballs are we playing with here with Trae Young, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum? It's illogical to me. It doesn't solve any of your rebounding issues or your issues with big men or filling out an actual basketball team that can compete for a title. It's fun. It's sexy, right? It's one of those talk radio, social media type things. Ah, Trae Young's available. What would you give up to get him? Nothing. I want no part of Trae Young. As Terp said off air in one of the breaks, just ship him to Washington. It makes sense. He can score.
You are a wizard.
50 points a game and you lose every game. It's perfect. You're happy. You're lighting it up. They're happy. They can get a draft pick, whatever. But yeah, Trae Young may be available. I want no part in him. 617-779-7937. It is 3 o'clock. We are coming up on here. That means it's time for Ted Johnson. It means it's time for the 3-point stances. And speaking of players I want no part of, I didn't think I'd say this after last year and the way it went in the spring, but there is a player available for your Boston Red Sox with a big price tag that I want no part of. I'll tell you who that is next here on WEEI.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.